You're listening to Interviews with Adam. I am your host, Adam Miller. And as we continue in this great month of our missions emphasis, we're talking with various missionaries and ministries from around the world that are having a tremendous impact with our theme, Knowing Christ and Making Him Known, spreading the gospel message to those who need to hear it. Our guest today is Philip Jackson. He works with Send International. He is the director of the ministry there in Macedonia, and he joins us all the way from across the world today to talk to us about his ministry. Philip, thank you so much for being a part of our Missions Emphasis Month.
It's a privilege. Thank you for having me.
Why don't you get us started by telling us a little bit about your organization, Send International? It's a pretty remarkable ministry that includes a whole large gathering of different countries, as opposed to many of the organizations that we've been hearing about that are states-based, that are sending people from the United States or from Western cultures. Your ministry is a combination of a lot of different countries, isn't it?
That's correct. Yeah, our focus is on church planting, but as our motto says, we mobilize God's people, we engage the unreached, and we establish reproducing churches. So by mobilizing God's people, we're not just talking about North Americans. We're trying to mobilize people from Central America. We've got people coming to us from the Philippines, from other countries in Europe. So it's exciting to be able to work together from people around the world. It's a little bit of a picture of heaven.
It's pretty cool to see what you're doing and the impact that you're having. You're serving there in Macedonia, a country that I have yet to visit, but a beautiful country. I've seen pictures. I've read some great reports. Can you tell us a little bit about what Send International is doing there in Macedonia?
Well, first of all, Adam, you're invited, so please come. You said you haven't been here yet, so we'd love to have you. Yeah, we've been involved in Macedonia since 93 as an organization. In fact, my wife and I took our vision trip here in March of 93, and we just fell in love with it. I mean, you've seen pictures. There's a lot of just beautiful natural surroundings, mountains, forest. It's just a beautiful place. But we really fell in love with the people. The people are, as we say in Macedonian, gosto primljivi, which is very hospitable. Very gracious people. They love to talk. They love to interact. And so it makes a great place for somebody who wants to do church planting, which requires a lot of interaction with people. It's a great place for that. So we came in 93 on a vision trip, and at that time really felt the Lord speaking to our hearts. And Lynn and I remember kneeling down in what is now a Holiday Inn. It used to be called the Grand Hotel. And we gave our life to the Lord for Macedonia at that time. We came back within a couple of years and have been here since 95. We have a team of workers. We're about 15 adults now. We partner with Macedonian churches to start other churches. So our main focus is church planting here. And in the course of the years that we've been here, we've been able to see three churches get started, and we're now just launching a fourth, and we have a fifth that's en route. So we're excited. That's the main thing that we do here.
And you're with Send International, which is all over the world in dozens of countries. Can you give us a little perspective as to the kind of global impact that they're having?
I'd love to. We're in over 20 countries and working with about 60, I believe the number's increasing, people groups. Here in Europe, we're in Spain, Czech Republic, Poland, and then several of the countries here in southeastern Europe, former Yugoslavia, including Macedonia, where we are, and the neighboring country, Bulgaria. But then we're also in Asia. In fact, we started at the end of World War II in the Philippines. And so some of the GIs that had been in that area and felt that God calling them to go back, started Far Eastern Gospel Crusade, which later became Send International. And so we've been in Asia for the longest time in multiple countries, some that don't get mentioned, but we've been in, you know, Taiwan and Philippines. We're now in Thailand and a few other places as well. So we have work among the former work among Buddhists. We have work among Muslims, and yeah, so we've got to work among numerous Asian countries, and it's exciting. It's also really exciting, as I mentioned earlier, that we now have in one of the first countries, the very first country where we worked, the Philippines. We now have people from the Philippines coming and joining other fields where SEND works. So we actually are anticipating our very first, here in Macedonia, our very first Filipina in the next, I'm not sure how long it's going to take for her to get here, but she's going to be coming to work with us to help us plant churches here in Macedonia.
Now, this is a pretty diverse ministry, and it has a pretty, it's got a lot of projects and a lot of missionaries that are out there doing the work. What is it that unifies the ministry together and brings it under the umbrella of SEND International?
I think the main unifying factor is that we do have a very strong mission statement. We've been called, obviously, by the Lord to fulfill the Great Commission. But in our understanding, the way we are to do that as an organization is to focus on church planting. And so while we have a diverse a number of ministries that we do, everybody in the mission has a general understanding that we are about church planting. So we try to focus on that goal wherever we are. So even here in Macedonia, we have people who do teaching English as a second language. We have people who do business as mission. And then we have others who are focused primarily just on evangelism and discipleship. But all of us together are starting churches.
It's actually pretty remarkable that that's the foundation. And you mentioned that you're working with other local churches to fulfill that, to work in the already established churches, to plant those other churches. Why is that sort of a integral part of your ministry, as opposed to just being a kind of an apostle type missionary that's going off on your own to plant churches?
That's a great question. We feel that it's best, when possible, to work through the national church. Right? It's it's their home turf. It's like we would expect, somebody starting a church somewhere in the Northeast, it would be best if somebody from the Northeast were, or at least that understood American culture and grew up in it, to be a leader in that. So here in Macedonia, we've come alongside people who we believe can do it better than we can. Now, there have been situations, and still are, where we've put ourselves in pioneer church planting situations where there wasn't someone to come alongside of us, and we feel like, well, the work has to be done. We're going to go ahead and get it started. And in fact, the church plant that I'm in right now, when I left the mother church that we had started, I was sent by that church across town to a part of Skopje where we live now, where there was no church at all. And Lynn and I came by ourselves. We really were praying for a partner, praying desperately for a Macedonian partner. And the Lord provided that, actually, again, from the mother church. He came to me and said, I'm really interested in joining you in this. And so now we're excited because we're meeting in our home, and several homes, actually, not just our home, but worshiping together. We're now about 10 Macedonians in that group. And my brother, I'm a Macedonian brother, is actually the leader. And so I get to work alongside of him and encourage him.
Tell us a little bit about the uniqueness of Macedonia, apart from its beautiful landscapes and Mediterranean climates. Can you tell us a little bit about the uniqueness of ministering the gospel in this really ancient country with so much of the history, even in the early church?
Yes, I'd love to. One of the things that's, I think, most interesting in working here is because we are in this place where even the Apostle Paul gave the gospel. Now, there's no known record of him coming as far as Skopje, but your listeners might be interested to know that if they look in the back of their Bible and they have maps there, if they look at Paul's third missionary journey, the town of Skopje is noted there almost in every map that I've checked for Paul's third missionary journey. And so that's the modern day town would be Skopje, where we live. So it was an active town then. When it talks about Paul traveled throughout Macedonia in Acts 20, it says for 3 months. I like to think that he made it up in this neck of the woods. In fact, there is some historical tradition that he made it as far as a town called Bogdanci, which is just, you know, at the very southern border of modern Macedonia. Of course, Macedonia, ancient Macedonia, covered more ground or more real estate than we live in presently. We live in what used to be former Yugoslavian Republic of Macedonia. Ancient Macedonia, of course, included the northern part of Greece and the southern part of Bulgaria. So when Paul heard the Macedonian call in Acts 16, he immediately went to Philippi, which is, you know, modern day Greece, but that would have been ancient Macedonia. So the gospel penetrated Europe by starting in Macedonia, as we all know, and then of course it made it through Europe and eventually made its way to us, and now we come back with the gospel to this place with a rich heritage. Now, the present day reality is different, and it's actually pretty sad. You've got a combination of, you know, 50 years of being under the Soviet shadow. So 50 years, a generation that basically put God on the shelf and accepted the tenets of atheism, while Orthodoxy was still the national identity, the heart was much more atheistic. Now, for the last 25 years, people have been allowed to take God off the shelf, and they've blown the dust off of him, but they've not really accepted anything at the heart level. And so we're dealing with what the rest of European missionaries deal with, a post-Christian Europe. So God is, been there, done that, and not really interested. So, you know, as your listeners are listening in today, I'm praying that they'll be called to pray for us, because there's just such a need here in this part where they've had so much, and yet there's so little that they're grasping.
It's interesting. There's so many similarities to Europe, and especially Eastern Europe, with what we're going through here in the Northeast and New England, where it's kind of a post-Christian culture. And I know some people from Macedonia, because we have so many of the J1 students that come here on the J1 visa. Okay. From Macedonia. And a lot of them, they come here and they identify themselves as Christians. It is an interesting kind of identity that they have, that idea of Christianity, because they were raised in a Christian versus a Muslim home or an atheist home, but they still don't know the gospel, and that's probably a big concern that you have.
It is. And so in some ways, you know, that Eastern Orthodox heritage gives them a false sense of Christian identity. It's based on the system of rituals and saints and holidays, religious holidays, right? But this system often serves as a kind of a vaccine. You know, it makes them resistant to the actual life-giving, life-changing gospel that we want them to experience. You mentioned something I don't want to forget to touch on, and that is that when you asked about the complexities or the uniqueness of Macedonia, we also have almost a third of the population that would be the minority population is Albanian, and they would be strongly, at least culturally, Muslim. And because they live together with the Orthodox Christian, there's a lot of animosity there between the two groups, and so that also creates a tension that we live with here, and it also causes the Albanian population to be very resistant to anything at all that is, you know, Christian. So now we know that's typical of any Muslim with that background, but it's made it very difficult. In fact, I would say one of the greatest obstacles we deal with in reaching that particular people group is that there's such a satanic stronghold. For centuries, they've been just held in bondage to this, and because of the ethnic tension between the two people groups, they hold on to that cultural identity even more so. I say that to contrast, for example, our neighboring country of Albania. The gospel penetrated in the early 90s and was quickly embraced, partly because there were so many people ready to get into this most atheist country in the world, but also because the brand, if you will, of Islam was much milder, and there wasn't this competitive identity there wasn't any kind of identity crisis. There was an allowance, if you will, of them embracing something new. And it's not, it's, you know, even though it's Christian, it's not totally against everything they believe. Like here in Macedonia, there's just this crisis of, if you're Albanian, you cannot even like anything Macedonian, and that includes Christianity. So there's a big difference between the two places that are just next door in terms of how well the gospel has been received. Over in Albania, there are churches, and I would guess hundreds of churches. I don't know the number. Whereas among the Albanian people here, out of roughly speaking 800,000 people, there is not one church yet. And we are praying, really praying, that God will do something about that and call many people to give the gospel here. And we've really taken that up as one of the things we at SEND. Although we've worked for 20 years among the Macedonian population, ethnic Orthodox Christian population, a few years ago, the Lord really laid on my heart that there is an unreached people group in this country that other organizations have been trying to reach, but we've not done anything about it. So the Lord put that in my heart, and that's now a new thrust of ours, that we really believe God wants us to do something about this particular unreached people group, to give them the gospel.
That's a pretty remarkable task, especially as we're seeing the course of Eastern Europe transformed with a lot of kind of cultural events taking place there, especially in the Middle East, and the transition of all the refugees that are coming through those areas. This is a great concern, I'm sure, for you, and also a great opportunity for your ministry. But for our listeners who want to know how to support and how to pray for you, what would you do to encourage them to be a partner with you in the ministry that you're having?
Thank you for that question. A few years ago, the Lord put on my heart, and a few others who are trying to focus on this minority Muslim group, that we need to raise an army of prayer partners. And for some reason, I felt like the Lord would say, go for 1,000. And so we're asking God to give us 1,000 prayer partners, and we have a weekly little reminder that goes out, and we're up to 450 plus right now.
Oh,
and
so close.
I've actually been hoping that there might be a few out there who would hear this and say, wow, I want to get on board with that. We're actually targeting this one particular town. I'm not going to mention it, but it's the strongest of the Muslim communities. Even though it's not the greatest population, it would be like the center of that particular religion. It's their capital, if you will. And so we are asking God to put 20 workers right in that town. We're already up to 15, and we're praying that by 2020 we'll have 1,000 people praying regularly, if not daily, but at least regularly, for that ministry. I don't like have lots of visions or anything, but I had kind of a picture when I was reading scripture. I was reading in the Psalms, and it talked about how God is our rock. And this particular city is in a plain. It's at the bottom of this huge mountain. And I just had this picture. What if God, the rock, comes rolling down that mountain and just crushes the stronghold that's there? And I thought the way that that's going to happen is the people of God joining in the power of God, praying and rolling down that mountain. And then recently I've kind of thought, well, God's people are going to call down his power. And it's like a snowball. It starts up at the top of that hill, and it started with just a handful of us, but then it grew to 100, and over the summer it grew to 450, and the snowball is getting bigger, and I'm just excited about the day that the Lord is going to fulfill that number, and we're going to see the stronghold defeated. And we're asking God, actually, by 2020, that we'll see 20 believers in that town. Now, keep in mind, among that particular population, we've not seen, a few years ago, I thought we didn't have any. Last year, I did a head count. I got a lot of people together in one room, and I said, how many are you aware of that are actual believers or disciples? And we came up with about 15 names. So out of 800,000 people, there are 15 that we know of believing in Jesus as Savior. And in that particular town, there are only 2 that I'm aware of. So, when you ask, what can we do? I just say, pray. so join us.
Well, add me to the list of people that will be praying for you. And I want to encourage all of our listeners to commit to pray for the work. We emphasize prayer here, and we certainly want to encourage our supporters and our listeners to support the work that you are doing. If you want to find out more information about Philip Jackson and the ministry he's having with Send International there in Macedonia, please head over to our website at songtime.com or give us a call. It's 508-362-7070. Philip, thank you so much for sharing with us and inviting us in on your ministry so that we can be in prayer and support of the work that you're doing to plant churches in Macedonia and reach out to that minority community of Muslims there in your country.
You're welcome, Adam. Thank you so much for the privilege. I really appreciate it.
We hope you enjoyed this interview made possible by our ministry at Songtime Radio. You can find out more information about our ministry by visiting our website at songtime.com, where you can find this and other interviews on our podcast series, as well as our weekday broadcast, which includes teaching, interviews, and music. We also want to encourage you to sign up for our free monthly newsletter. It's got encouraging articles, and there is no obligation. To find out more information about our ministry, again, visit our website at songtime.com. This ministry is made possible by people just like yourself. We are 100% supported by our listeners. So if you have been blessed today, why not join with the many voices together for that one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with your donation to the Songtime Ministry. To make a donation, you can do so online at our website at songtime.com, as well as by mail. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. Make a donation over the phone. It's 508-362-7070. On behalf of our entire Songtime staff and our own Dr. John DeBrine, the founder here at Songtime, who encourages you to grow in grace and not groan in disgrace, from Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller. God bless.